Morning. Thank Grace for putting that verse on the front of the bulletin for me today, and Gary for the reading out of Matthew, the fifth chapter. Those that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I don't know how many times in my life I have drawn back on that verse to get me through a day, a particular rough hour, a rough 5 minutes, whatever it is. They will mount up with wings like eagles. Moses one day was afraid. He was very afraid. We read in Exodus the third and fourth chapters that God had come to Moses, and we know this story, wanting him to go back to Egypt, the land that he had run from. To go to Pharaoh, the mightiest ruler possibly on the face of the earth at that time, and to demand of him that he release his slave labor force. I can't, in my own mind, in Little Lee Summit in 2012, place myself exactly in Moses' shoes. But Moses knew the daunting task that God had set before him, and he was afraid. And he tried 5 different times with everything that he could think of to get out of this task. God, I don't want to go back to Egypt. I don't want to face Pharaoh, and I certainly don't want to tell him to release the slave labor force that he relied so heavily on. And he came up with excuse after excuse after excuse why he could not possibly do this task. But you know what? In the end, as God answers all 5 of these attempts by Moses to get out of this thing that Moses felt was not possible, God gave Moses exactly what he needed to accomplish God's task. God lifted Moses up and made him successful, even when Moses thought he couldn't do it. God lifted Moses up. In one period of David's life, in particular one late afternoon or evening, I don't know the exact time of day, David made some bad decisions, some really bad decisions that affected not only himself but several others over the course of their lifetimes. We read in 2 Samuel, the 11th chapter, that it was the time that kings took their armies out and went to battle. It's almost like it was, well, it's January 32nd. I guess I got to get my generals and let's go slaughter somebody. But it was a time that David should have been out leading his army, as I read the verse. I don't know how it worked. I guess it doesn't matter a whole lot. It's a long time ago, and we can't affect it. But we get the picture in our minds that David should have been out of Jerusalem with his troops fighting for something. But it says that David tarried at Jerusalem at this particular time. Had David been with his army, the following events would not have happened, at least on this day, and we like to think maybe it wouldn't have happened at all. But he's up on top of his palace, and he's looking around, admiring, I suppose, his realm. I don't know. Maybe that's not fair to David. But he looks next door, and he sees a beautiful woman by the name of Bathsheba washing on the top of her house. Now, David had multiple options here. The first one was he could have turned his head around, gone back downstairs, and done something a little more constructive than standing there watching a neighbor bathing. But no, he chose not to do that. He finds himself full of lust for this woman. He sins for her. And again, he had options that could have stopped right here, but no, it did not. And we know this story also. One thing led to another. He commits adultery, and she becomes pregnant. And we're reminded in the story of Achan in Joshua, the 7th chapter, verse 21, regarding the spoils of this battle, and he says, I saw, I coveted, and I took. And that's exactly what David found himself doing in making these poor decisions. But it doesn't stop here. Once they find that she is pregnant, then he has to come up with some way to make it look like maybe it wasn't him that did it so much. So he brings her husband Uriah in from the battlefront, hoping that he will go into her and take a break. But Uriah has more I don't know what word I want to use, something, than David did, and he doesn't do it. He sleeps outside the door, refusing to take advantage of a situation while his fellow soldiers are out risking their lives and dying for a cause. So David, seeing that he has failed in this, sends Uriah to the front lines and instructs his men to withdraw from him so that he can die in battle. What in the world was going through David's mind when he made any or all of these decisions? I don't know that I've ever found myself, I've made some really dumb decisions. I don't know that I've done anything that we would classify like this, that has affected so many people in such horrible ways. And we can think pretty evil of, pretty poor of David if we choose to. You know, these things are pretty despicable. But in 1 Samuel 13 and 14, the writer here says that David was a man after God's own heart. You know what? Even after these poor decisions of seeing the neighbor, of bringing her over to the palace and committing a sin with her, of sending her husband to the front lines and seeing that he is put to death, that he is killed in battle, which are all despicable things, God still provided David with a way out once David realized the magnitude of what he had done. And he goes to God and asks forgiveness. Now, there are some things that happen to punish him in this lifetime. God doesn't let it go unpunished. But David is referred to as a man after God's own heart. God lifted David up. Even after all of these bad decisions and the remorse that David felt and the horrible way that he had affected so many, God lifted David up. A man after his own heart. And we recognize today, 3,000 years later, that David is, if not the greatest king in Israel's history, one of the very few that stand at that pinnacle. The mention of the word David, just one name, and we all knew who we're talking about. He is still very revered in their culture. Peter had a really bad evening. As far as his faith or his courage, I'm not sure we could approach this from several ways. Peter denied Jesus. Not once, not twice, but three different times with cursing and swearing on the third one. He was vehement that he didn't know who this man was. And in spite of a denial of his Savior, God lifted Peter up. God allowed Peter, he placed Peter in positions that Peter could be successful for him. And he lived a wonderful life in service to the man that one evening, through weakness, he denied. Peter was allowed to preach the first sermon on the day of Pentecost that we have recorded in the book of Acts, chapter 2. What a wonderful way to begin the history of the Lord's body. He wrote probably several letters, two of which 2,000 years later we still have recorded in front of us that we can read the words and the thoughts of Peter. Wonderful man, a very strong man, a little impetuous at times, but a wonderful man. Why? Because God lifted him up. The Apostle Paul had a lot of rough days. Now, I've had some that were kind of stinkers. But I've never had any like Paul described in the 11th chapter of 2 Corinthians, starting in around verse 24. From the Jews, five times I received 40 stripes minus one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils of the city, in perils of the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil and sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. That's some rough stuff. But through all of these adversities and trials, and just plain rotten things that happened to Paul, you know what's coming, don't you? God gave Paul the things necessary to be successful in living for him. The Almighty God lifted Paul up and placed him in a situation to be successful. Have you ever been afraid? Probably. Have you ever made bad decisions? Almost undoubtedly. Have you ever denied Jesus in word or in action? Hopefully not, but maybe. Ever had a really bad day when it just seemed like you weren't going to get to the end of it? Again, maybe, probably, I don't know. But just as we look at the lives of these four men, and we think of them looking at their lives with maybe despair, with just hopelessness on some occasions. How am I going to get out? God, why did you place me here? We know Jesus himself on the cross asked God why he had forsaken him. He prayed that that cup could be removed from him if it were God's will, which it was not, and Jesus knew that. But Jesus was a human, and he really didn't want to do it. But just as we look at these people and the things that they went through in their lives, sometimes just a particular moment, sometimes for years at a time, we look at the power of God to lift them up, to lift them past these bad circumstances, and to place them in a situation through their belief in God, through their waiting on the Lord in Isaiah 40, to where they could be successful. We look at the story of the prodigal son, the wasteful son, in Luke the 15th chapter. And I want to look at one verse in particular. I've read this story and heard this story read and talked about. We did it just in class not too long ago. And I don't know why this particular verse didn't strike me the way it has in the last month. Well, we know the story. We know the story of the young man that asked for his inheritance. He went out and blew the entire thing. He ends up eating just junk that's being fed to pigs. And when he finally comes to himself, he makes a remarkable statement in 15 and 17 of Luke. It starts, "But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger?'" Notice verse 18. "I will arise and go to my father." And we could stop the story right there, because that's the gist of what we need to learn from this. He found himself in horrible straits because of his own stupidity and bad decisions, whatever it might be. But when he comes to himself, he says what? "I'm going to arise. I'm going to get up and I'm going to go to my father. I'm going to be lifted up." And that happened. He went back to his father. His father prepared a great feast for him, and the young man was lifted up. In Matthew, the 5th chapter, the reading that Gary read for us this morning, what it must have been like to have been in the crowd that day listening to our Savior speak. These Jews had been brought up with the tenets, and they were wonderful tenets. The Ten Commandments, "Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not lie," all of the things that the Jews had been brought up believing and their lives built around, and they were wonderful things. They're still good today. Their treatment of one another. But to hear Jesus stand there on the side of this mountain and say in verse 3, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Well, now, wait a minute. You're saying that I don't have to stay here being poor in spirit, that there's something above and beyond this? Well, absolutely there is. As long as God is on his throne, you can be lifted up. "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." Who here has not mourned? And who has thought maybe at times that this mourning is going to go on and on and on until the day I die? I don't know that I can get past this. Of course we can, because God can lift us up. "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." What wonderful promises. "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." In all of these promises, we see the lifting up that God provides to those that wait on him. these bad things, and maybe your lifting up is going to be different than someone else's being lifted up. But God does not forsake us, and He gives us what is needed to get through a particular bad point in our life. And I guess maybe what I'm talking about today is I'm trying to bring hope to myself and to anyone else that just sometimes feels like their burdens just maybe a little more than they really can bear or want to bear. Will you not be yourself? James 4 and 10, we're told to humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, and what? He will lift you up. And what a wonderful thing this lifting up is, and it could, like I say, mean different things in different circumstances. But it's rising on God's wings to heights that we can't imagine if we're down here by ourselves. Using the power of God to be successful, and again, success can mean different things in our lives. But God will lift us up. He will use us individually, if we will allow Him to be successful. Romans 8 and 37, we are more than conquerors through the power of God. I guess this is kind of a litany of my favorite verses this morning, verses that have meant something special to me, and I hope they do you as well. Psalm 43 and 5, why are you cast down? Have hope in God. My mom, as probably many of your moms, and maybe you've done this with your kids, talks about the fact that God's in His heaven, all's right with the world. I remember that statement hundreds of times. God is still on His throne and is still very, very much in charge. Now, it may look like He's turned His back sometimes on us or on our society or whatever. He absolutely has not. God is still very much in control on His throne. Why are you cast down? Have hope in God. Isaiah 61 and 3, put on the garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness. We get up in the morning and we're having a rough day, whatever, a rough period of our life. And I guess what this verse is after, that when we praise God and we place ourselves in His hands, and we recognize His sovereignty and His power, maybe it's a little more difficult to feel sorry for ourselves when we're offering praise to our Creator. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Psalm 16 and 11, in God's presence is the fullness of joy. How can I be lonely when I'm walking by His side, the song says. Psalm 118 and 24, this is the day that the Lord has made. Rejoice and be glad in it. Today didn't just happen. Now I realize that God, when He created everything, set things in order. And I guess if God were to take a 100-year break, that by and large the creation would still do its axis thing, and rotation and gravity and all of the laws of nature and physics would still happen. I don't know. But today didn't just happen. God created this day for you and for I. And what a wonderful day it is. We see the sunshine, but it would be a wonderful day if a tornado was bearing down on this building. God still created this day, and we can still thank Him for it and rejoice and be glad in the fact that I've been given another day, if nothing to stand up here and whine about my sad condition. That's a gift from God. He gave me a beautiful day to cry about my situation, which I am not doing, incidentally. Rejoice and be exceeding glad in it. Psalm 24 and 9, lift up your heads and the King of glory will come in. Instead of walking around some days with our heads down, just our shoulders slumped, feeling defeated, and we've all probably been there, lift your head up. Let God come into your life and let Him lift you up through His power. Let God work in your life and know that He is. Psalm 40, verses 1 to 3, and I'm going to turn to this one because I don't want to mess it up. I guess not that I want to mess any of these up, but sometimes my note-taking is better than at others. Psalm 40, 1 through 3. David writing, and he says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me. Now, there's a key in all of this, maybe, is just to be patient and let God do his work in God's time. But let's move on. He heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. Ever had a day when you felt like you were just in a horrible pit? An incredibly bad situation. But listen to what God can do for you. He set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. Out of this horrible pit, he lifted David up and set his feet on a rock, on a solid place, and put a new song in David's mouth. Why? Because David trusted in the Lord. And he knew that whatever God did for David was what God knew David needed. And as a result of David's joy and happiness in following God, whatever happened to David, people could look at David and recognize God in his life because he was happy. Many will see it in fear and will trust in the Lord. Deuteronomy 30 and 11, this one also I want to turn to. You don't have to. For this commandment which I command you today is not too mysterious for you, nor is it far off. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will ascend into heaven? And he goes on and on and on. I want to go down to verse 19. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. Now, what I want to submit to you this morning is that when we get up in the morning and we recognize that this is the day that God has made, let's rejoice and be glad in it, that we have choices to make. We can choose life, we can choose blessing, or we can choose the bad stuff. When we get up in the morning and we look to God and recognize His sovereignty and give ourselves to Him for this new day, let's choose life, let's choose blessing, and recognize that whatever happens to us in this day, God hasn't forsaken us. God is very with us and is protecting us as long as we wait on Him and is prepared to lift us up out of whatever problem it is. Now, it may take weeks, months, years, but know that God is there, and we need to choose blessing. And not just choose to get up in the morning thinking, oh, wow, here we go again, another cruddy day. That's in our control to choose when we get up first thing in the morning. Choose life. Choose a blessing. Choose to be content with whatever happens to you, as Paul was in his life. Psalm 36, 7 through 9. We can be abundantly satisfied. We can drink from the river of God's pleasure, not just a puddle, not a couple of sips, but from a river that God is providing for His people if we will recognize it. Psalm 27 and 17, as iron sharpens iron, one person sharpens another. When we get up in the morning and recognize this beautiful day God has given to us, and recognize that God is with us, and we choose blessings over cursing, this is to be our attitude. One thing that we can do to help ourselves is to surround ourselves as we go about our business as Christians with like-minded people, with those that are going to help lift us up to make better people out of ourselves. We're going to sharpen one another. Now, we're going to be in the world. We're going to come in contact with the world. We're trying to bring the world to God. But let's do it with like-minded people that can help us to become better at doing this. As iron sharpens iron. John 8 and 32, know the truth and the truth will make you free. John 14, 27, we need to stop allowing ourselves to be afraid and to be troubled and to rely on the peace of God, Philippians 4 and 7, that passes all understanding. Matthew 6 and 25 and 30 to 34, stop worrying because God is going to provide for us. Romans 8 and 28, all things work together for good to those that love God Now, it may not seem like it at the time, but in God's master plan, if you look at it as a large mosaic, and I'm just one little tiny tile in this large mosaic, individually, I'm nothing. I could pop out of the mosaic, and probably unless you were standing real close to it, you wouldn't even notice I was gone. But we're all part of this mosaic, and God has a plan for all of us in this overall scheme of things. And everything works together for good if we love God, and we recognize that God is taking all of us and using all of these events to shape us, to mold us, and yes, to what? Lift us up. John 3:16, and as we look at this verse, take out the words "the world" and place your own name in there. For God so loved Reg, or Sam, or Dan, or anyone else here today, for God so loved, fill in the blank, that he gave his only begotten son, that what? We might have life. It's not a generic verse that we can just read, oh, that's sweet. No, it's way more than that. God loved us so much that he let his son die, a horrible death, that we might what? Be lifted up. What a wonderful thought that is. Warren Zevon, years ago, shortly before his death, he was a songwriter. I don't know if you're familiar with any of his. He did Werewolves of London, which was my favorite song of his. But he made the statement, three simple words, enjoy every sandwich. Now, what was Zevon referring to? The fact that he got up in the morning and he could embrace the small things that God gave him, to enjoy every sandwich. And as silly as this sounds, I was on my route up north, and I know nobody cares, a couple of Wednesdays ago, and I stopped at an in-house to get a newspaper. I was kind of hungry. It was around 10 in the morning. I'll just go over in the deli and look, see. And they had some tuna salad sandwiches, okay? So I bought me a little $3 tuna sandwich, and I go up on my way. That was the best tuna salad sandwich I've maybe ever had in 56 years. And I enjoyed that sandwich so much that 2 or 3 hours later, I'm still thinking, wow, that was a good sandwich. Now, that's silly for somebody my age to get so wrapped up in a tuna sandwich. But I enjoyed it. It was a small, simple little thing. And that's what Zevon's talking about. We get up in the morning and enjoy the small blessings that God gives to us. God lifted me up with a tuna salad sandwich. I had a smile on my face for hours. However cheesy that may sound, God does things like this for us if we look to him and recognize the blessings that God provides for us. I'm about to close. Exodus, the 19th chapter and verse 4. I don't have my watch on today and I keep forgetting to look at the clock. I'm sorry. God's talking to the Israelites, Moses in particular, and he says, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. God lifted the nation of Israel up on eagle's wings. And we know the story, and look at the wonderful things God did for Israel. Yeah, they had some bad moments, but they were being lifted up by God. Isaiah 40 and 31. Now we'll shut this down. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. These are the things that happen when we serve God, when we wait on him. I did not know till yesterday, and I'd been meaning to look this up for a while, just hadn't gotten to it, that a bald eagle can fly up to 10,000 feet high. That absolutely blew me away when I read that. That is a long distance up there. And its eyesight is so keen that from a long way up, I don't know about the 10,000 foot mark, this eagle can spot prey down on the ground and dive bomb, and you know the rest of it with its little talons and sharp beak and whatnot. But that's one thing that makes it a successful hunter, is that it can see from so far up. But it can get so high, it gets away from its enemies. And you know what? And you know what I'm going to say. God can lift us up out of our enemy's grasp if we'll let him do it. Just like the eagle, we will soar on those wings. God has promised this to us. We'll run and not be weary. We can walk and not faint. Just like Moses and his fear, like David and his bad decisions, like Peter and his denials of Jesus, and like Paul and the persecutions and trials that he went through in this life. God can lift us past all of these things, can lift us up. If we give ourselves to Him and get up every morning and choose His blessings and choose life. This morning, I'll leave this with you. I talked a little longer than I intended. I apologize for that. Choose life. God can't lift us up as on eagle's wings if we don't wait on Him. If we don't choose to serve Him, if we don't choose to place our entire being in His hands. He wants to. He wants desperately to. He wants to save us so badly that He allowed His Son to die for each and every one of us. However many times Reg may mess up, God loves me so much that He let Jesus die for me. And I've got to remember that, as do we all. This morning we have a wonderful opportunity. We've been given a day created for us by God. We have the opportunity to choose life, to choose blessings. And I don't know any way of begging you anymore to accept those things and to just say, please, come forward and give yourself to God as we stand and sing the number that Zach's announced.